tend to think of the word cocktail as a fairly modern term, dating back to the 1920s and 30s when people hosted cocktail parties and sophisticates gathered at cocktail lounges instead of saloons. But the cocktail, defined as an alcoholic mixed drink with two or more ingredients, actually dates back to at least 1806. 200 years later, Americans love cocktails, but have a much more interesting palette of ingredients to combine for a never-ending array of flavors. I'm Charles Ferruza, and on today's Central Standard, the restaurant critics will raise the bar on the best cocktails in Kansas City, from the old standbys like whiskey sours and daiquiris to the newest intoxicating concoctions. And we want to know what you like to drink when a beer or a glass of wine just won't do. And my panelists, they're all heavy drinkers, every one of them.
And proud of it.
And I'll let you introduce yourself, starting with the woman frequently seen on a bar stool in Kansas City, Miss Chris Pasica.
I am Chris Pasica. I write for the Restaurant Guide of Kansas City, and I have a blog at www.cafechris.com.
All right.
And I'm Mary Block. I write the Restaurant Guide for the Kansas City Star, and I have a blog at aroundtheblockkc.com.
And I'm Emily Ferris from Feed Me Creative, and I write for many publications, including MadeMan.com, where I do a Friday drink column every week.
All right. What is your column today?
It is called the Dad's Double.
Dad's
so
Double.
So it's a double whiskey and tonic cocktail with bitters.
Is that an old Dad's cocktail like. Or a newer one?
You know, I just kind of threw this one together. I just thought it would be something that dads would like. I know dads like whiskey, and dads like gin and tonics, and everybody likes bitters, so... The best of all worlds together in one strong drink.
That's interesting. Yeah. All right. We're going to be talking more about alcoholic beverages in the second half of the show when we get to our theme of cocktails. But as we always do here on Central Standard, when the restaurant critics are together, we're going to be talking about new and interesting restaurants in Kansas City, places that you may or may not have heard about. And you're always welcome to join this conversation and tell us where you have been. The telephone number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You are encouraged to send us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org, or you could send us a tweet to
@KCURCST.
All right. What new places have you been to? We'll start with Chris.
Okay. One of the newer places I've been to is a Thai restaurant called Sawati, I believe. Sawati.
Oh, and that's the former, that's where the Thai place was on Quivira, right?
Yes. Yes. It's 11838 Quivira Road at 119th. And we had a delightful dinner, helped in part because they had a couple of decent wines that actually went with the Thai food, which was nice for a change.
What's a good wine for Thai food?
A fairly spicy white, a decent Riesling, something like that.
And I would have guessed that, you know, because Thai food does tend to be spicy, that you would want as a contrast something maybe more bland or cooling or soothing.
You know, not so much.
Really?
I mean, yeah, you don't want real spicy or real heavy, but a lighter white works out really well.
I think something with a little citrus to kind of balance out the, you know, there's like lime flavors in Thai food.
Riesling is always the suggested wine for spicy food.
Right. And if they had it, which I don't believe they did, a good rosé works really well with Thai food. Anyway, this is a very cute, nice place. Very attractive, very, very friendly, and very, very good. And extremely reasonable. I had the Guy Prowl, which was, I think, $12. You know, and that's pretty much where the prices hang in there. Lunches for eight or so, dinners for 10, 11, 12. And my husband had a really good curry, and I think it was $11 or something. So
the owner of that restaurant, her name is Anne, but it is not Anne Liberta of the Thai place. It is, I can't remember her last name, but... she used to own the Thai house on Holmes near Gomer's Plaza or in Gomer's Plaza. And she sold that, and then she opened Sawadi on Quivira. And I thought it was a little bit bland, but maybe they've spiced things up.
It was spicy enough for me, and my husband sweats, so that's always the key.
It's a very attractive dining room.
It is really pretty. It's very cute. Also, went to Preservation Market, Mary's favorite. one of her favorites. That's at 510 Westport Road. And I think I'll talk about that after I get to go back for dinner. I think I'll just say at this point, I was really impressed by it.
Let's, again, because I haven't been so, but I want some clarity. This is a restaurant that's actually inside a
Bridger's Bottle Shop.
Yes.
So does it keep the same hours as the bottle shop?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's open fairly early, at 11.
And this is Alex Pope's place?
Right. Right. And I want to go back for one thing, because the beers look great. But two, their shared plates look wonderful. We had sandwiches and salads, but I'm going to talk about that after I get to go back for dinner.
I want to hear all about that. Yeah.
Shout it out. Also went to Julep, which we can talk about
during the second half.
The other place I really liked this last week was the District Poorhouse, P-O-U-R. House and Kitchen in Waldo, which is at 7122 Warnell. I was really impressed by this place. I didn't have high expectations, especially, I don't know why, but they have a good variety of food, everything from mussels and gumbo and artichoke Rockefeller, which I didn't try, unfortunately. Did try the fried, okay, Chris, you can do it. Polenta strips, the polenta french fries, which were blocks, not fries exactly.
Well, they look like the old fat Crayola crayons from our childhood.
Yeah, the square, if they're square. Yeah, it was really, they were really good. Had a great piece of trout. And on top.
It sounds like they've come a long way from when they opened.
Well, or bounced back.
Or bounced
because
back.
Charles and I have both had very mixed experiences there. When I first went, I had a wonderful experience. And then I went back a few times, and both the food and the service had declined a bit. So it sounds like they're kind of coming back where they were.
The meal we had was fabulous, and they had the best Brussels sprout slaw kind of thing. That was just fabulous,
Did you go on a weekday or a weekend?
We went weekday and before Starlight, and it may be my new solve the problem of where to eat before Starlight, let me tell you. It was really, really good. So, and that place is about a year old, I think.
Not quite.
Okay. And then...
We should say that place is in the location, for years and years and years was Romanelli Grill, and then it became The Gaff.
The Gaff, yes, exactly. And, man, I think it's better than either of those myself, but that's me. And I also, during the second half, maybe we can also mention the BD's Mongolian Barbecue, which I went to the first time ever, and I went to the one in Independence. Stop making that look, Charles.
Oh, God.
Primarily because they have a huge beer selection now.
Who would have
really
thunk
it? And actually, beer goes really well with their food.
See, I feel like Charles and I have the same opinion about that kind of place. Like, I want the chef to create my meal and put the flavors together.
I don't want to trust myself.
Pay for it. So I even trust myself to mix flavors well. But if I'm going out and paying someone else to make my meal, I want them to do all the flavor pairing for me.
Well, you know, they do that for the sauces, which I think is really what's hugely important. And it's just a
fun
place
to watch.
You put
the sauces in the bowl yourself.
I know, but they at least have recipes on the wall for you, which my husband followed exactly and had a really good dish.
Oh, gosh.
So maybe that's the secret. So that's going to be it for me for now.
All right. Mary, where have you been?
Well, I went to the new Newport Grill in the Prairie Fire Center at 5501 West 135th Street, and it's one of the new PB&J restaurants, and it shares a kitchen with Paradise Diner, although I didn't think the Paradise Diner bore any resemblance to the original one that was in Oak Park Mall when it first started. The Newport Grill is a very attractive space. It is large with a not nautical, but seafood kind of decor. I thought it was, a nice menu, not overly exciting.
How would you compare it to the Bristol?
I would probably compare it to Grand Street in terms of, you know, there's a little of everything. I would say Grand Street was probably a little more creative. But it was, I thought, quite expensive. For lunch, I had a crab salad that was $20.
But you said there was a lot of crab on it.
There was a lot of crab on it, and that was the saving grace. And they've got an outdoor patio.
And I'm assuming it was real crab.
It was.
As opposed to
mock.
Yes.
You know, the mocky version. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which you could always tell when it's mock crab if you haven't already figured that it's the fake crab, and it does have a name that I can't remember. But
it's
very, that too, but a more Asian sounding name, and it's very sugary. It's very sweet.
Well, let me say, I don't send food back, but if that had been fake crab for $20, I would have sent it back.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So anyway, that's out in Prairie Fire along with Coco Bolos, and there's Wasabi Sushi out there as well as Paradise Diner. And closer to home, I went to the new Nick and Jake's at 5031 Main, which had been Beacon...
Jack Gage
Tavern.
Double Dragon Chinese Buffet.
Right. Double Dragon was there for years. These other ones didn't make it. But this one, they've renovated. It's a nice space, a lot of TVs, great service. They're really well trained there. And like Kristen, have great expectations for the District Poorhouse. I really didn't for Nick and Jake's, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Really, because the one in Johnson County is very smooth, very slick.
Well, this was really good, and the chef used to be at Sullivan's, and they have a pork dish, a daily pork dish that they have on special. But I had a very nice Asian chicken salad. We started with potato nachos, which were basically like potato skins with all the stuff on top. And you know, it's good bar food, but they had some real entrees as well.
And it's not known to be an expensive place, is it?
No, it was very reasonable. And I think this one will make it because that huge apartment complex is going up across the street, so they'll have a built-in clientele, I think.
I think this place would make it even without that apartment complex, and I'll tell you why. They've made a really good, strong brand out of Nick and Jake's.
Yes.
And the food, no matter which one you go to, there's one in Parkville too, it's always consistent.
Which is key.
Yeah.
Like Houston's. You always know what you're going to get.
Right.
And I also went to a special event dinner at Michael Smith with Dario, the butcher of Penzano. And obviously, you know, you can't go do that again next week if you want. But I would give a shout out to Michael and Nancy Smith because they always have great events. And most of them, this one wasn't, but most of them are really reasonably priced for what you get. And it's an experience. It's a, you know, instead of dinner and a movie, you could go do that. He has Big Night on Thursday night with, that's an all Italian menu, and he has fresh pasta. And I think they do a really good job.
And the address of that again is?
That's at 19th and Main.
Correct.
Right at the corner.
And before we go to Emily, I want to remind you that you are listening to the Restaurant Critics Show. On Central Standard, you are more than welcome to join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, because we do want to hear where you have been to and new places you like. I also want to say that our producer let us know that the magical word for fake crab is surimi.
Oh.
Surimi, which I thought that was the name of Tom Cruise's daughter. I guess it isn't.
That's not what's on a sushi menu. I'll look it up. But when you
they
see
often
it,
say crab stick on that one, yeah. But it's surimi.
I always thought it was flounder, too.
Yeah, there's another word,
well,
too.
It's sort of a concoction of many whitefish.
Oh.
You know, that just, you know, it's sort of like...
At least it's fish.
Yes, at least it's fish and not, you know, soy.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, we are talking right now about new restaurants. Emily, where have you been?
No place incredibly new. Like Chris, I also went to Julep at 4141 Pennsylvania. The entrance is actually around the corner. Is that Archibald Street?
Yes, it is.
The name of that street. But I will save my raves about their cocktails for the second half.
Great.
Last night I went to Pierpont's, which is not an incredibly summery place, but a place that I feel gets overlooked a lot when talking about dining in Kansas City. And it's definitely an old school steakhouse. But talk about consistency. Their food is consistent, and they have a wonderful happy hour. And this is Pierpont's in Union Station, which is just such a cool building, and I love being there when the trains come in and leave.
Which I realize now is 14 years old, that restaurant. So,
oh.
Yeah, it's been there a while.
Union Station's been, no.
Union Station's been there a lot longer.
See, I thought it had been, I you know, moved back to Kansas City as an adult in 2009, so I just kind of assumed Pierpont's
It'll be
had
15
been
years
forever.
Old in the fall.
Right.
Well, it
right.
feels like it's been around since Union Station.
Right, right.
And Union Station is celebrating its 100th anniversary in the fall also.
Yeah. I had the 12-hour short ribs. Again, not a summery dish and super rich, but they were they had a ginger beer jus and Swiss chard with lamb bacon and a horseradish honey cornbread that was delightful. And got the soup of the day, which was great, which was very summery. It was a spicy tomato and shrimp bisque.
Sounds good.
And the ginger cake with lemon cookie ice cream, which is now my favorite ice cream in the world. Also went to Domo in Brookside, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite regular spots. They do sushi, but then they have a lot of these different bowls that are definitely inspired by other Asian cuisines. So we often get the Domo bowl, which is a lot like bibimbap, which is a Korean rice dish. And this last time we got the Yoshi bowl, which is very much like a Vietnamese dish. So in addition to really good sushi, they do different kinds of Asian fusion type dishes. And I would never choose to go to Blue Koi because though I like their flavors, I feel like they've generally kind of been lacking in texture in their dishes. I feel like all of their dishes kind of have a similar texture, but I went...
That texture being what, mushy?
Kind of, yeah. But I went for a business lunch about 2 weeks ago and then chose to go back on my own because I liked the dish I had so much, which was a chicken thigh cooked in ginger and basil. And so I want to take back all the things I ever said about Blue Koi on 39th Street, even though I guess it could still use a little more texture. It was delightful. And that's 1803 West 39th Street is Blue Koi. And then I've gone to Glacé a few times this season and have failed to mention it. And that is Christopher Elbow's ice cream shop at 4960 Main. And they have wonderful, creative, fresh ice creams there. And the mint chip or mint flake is one of my favorite summertime sweet treats, and I'm not much of a sweet person.
It just made the list of top ice cream shops in America.
Yes.
No surprise.
As it should.
Yeah, all right. We have a call here, and we are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff in downtown Kansas City. Are you with us, Jeff?
Yes. I wanted to talk about Yusei Tomato. I gave it a try for the first time this week and found it to be outstanding. I had a pocket Reuben, which was perfectly prepared and not overly salted. And I also had a soup, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Is it gazpacho? Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a tomato soup, but it's cold. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that
right. You are. Anyway. You are.
Okay, well, I found both of those to be outstanding and perfectly seasoned. And I would highly recommend the place.
Can I ask, do you work there?
No, I don't.
Right. He would know how to pronounce gazpacho if he worked there.
You are absolutely right. And he did say it was his first visit there.
Yes.
Emily, what is the address?
It's 2801 Holmes. So it's at 28th and Holmes.
In a very, very old grocery store. And it still looks like an old grocery store.
And they
store.
Still have grocery items.
Yeah, of a sort.
Yeah, it's a great little kind of old-timey grocery with a food counter. It's really fun to go there on a weekend morning.
And Jeff, if you haven't had breakfast there on a Saturday or Sunday, it's definitely a see and be seen place.
As is Succotash, which is two blocks to the north.
Right.
And they just open up another room to accommodate more people on the weekends.
I know it.
It's because we're all growing after we eat at Succotash. Yes.
All right. Service. Hey, Jeff, thank you for the phone call. And yes, we like Yusei Tomato. We'll have to do a... Neither of them have liquor licenses, not that or Succotash. So I guess we can't do a drunken brunch show there.
But we could do that and add where to get the best tomato drinks.
Now there's an idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or perhaps a BYOB show, because there are quite a few restaurants that don't have liquor licenses that let you bring your own.
Yeah, we'd have to do a little explanation of the very, very complicated laws in Kansas City about bringing liquor into a restaurant because it's not really kosher. But
so perhaps we don't do a show on that. Anyway. So I can keep taking my wine to a few of my favorite places.
And just not mention it.
Exactly.
Well, let's see. I this week's edition of The Pitch, I reviewed Limestone Pizza in Lawrence. And I got to tell you, if you have not been yet, it's a really excellent, excellent restaurant. Almost everything there is made from scratch in the kitchens. And it's owned by three very, very talented chefs. Really, really fun place. You'll like, and you know, just as a shout out to our second half of the show, they've got really talented bartenders who make some really interesting cocktails. I no longer drink, but I was tempted. I was with a friend of mine who did have a cocktail, and they made it for her from fresh rhubarb puree that they had just made that day, a little bit of tonic, a little bit of lime juice, and I think, I don't know if there's something, mint in it, and it looked beautiful. It was a beautiful color. And they made me a mocktail.
Oh, good, honey.
Yes, it was lovely, with lime and cucumber and mint. And, you know, the thing about a mocktail is it doesn't really even taste like a cocktail, but it looks like one.
It looks like one. That's the trick. And, that's, you know, and at least you didn't have to ask for a Shirley Temple.
You know, I believe that once you turn 50, you are not allowed to ask for a Shirley Temple. Unless it's you could ask for a Shirley Temple Black, I suppose, but, you know, I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. They're all... There are new pizza places opening up
everywhere,
like four corners of the compass, because there's the new Pizza Manifesto in Waldo.
We're going to do a pizza show, because I've heard Grandview. Mixed things about all of these places. So.
And then the one in Liberty, and I can't think of the name. And then the Limestone Pizza.
Right.
And there's a new one in the Legends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Interesting. Well, we will do have to do a pizza show. We'll have to talk to our producer and go there.
Happy to go research that.
As am I.
All right. Any other fun new places while we wait for phone calls?
No, but you mentioned, so that rhubarb cocktail, is it the Limestone Pizza?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I am going to get there, because my favorite cocktail ever was a rhubarb tonic at a place in Chicago called Nightwood. And I had it about a year ago, and I've just not been able to stop thinking about that cocktail. So.
Oh, and they also made for me, because I got sort of in a mocktail frame of mind, a mocktail with fresh orange juice and house-made ginger syrup.
Ooh.
That was absolutely delicious. And had I been a drinker, I would have had them throw a little splash of vodka in it, but I didn't.
Good
boy.
Yeah. The best cocktails at restaurants and bars here, but... I'm actually writing an article for a magazine in San Francisco right now about the culinary scene in Kansas City. And kind of the premise of my article is that it's impossible... Not impossible, but hard to separate the culinary scene right now from the cocktail scene.
And how are they intertwined, would you say?
Well, so many good restaurants are featuring really amazing craft cocktails as part of their menu. They're not a separate menu. They're on their menu. They're featured. They're using ingredients like rhubarb and making their own purees and using infusions from ingredients that the chefs have found. And I think when you look kind of as an outsider at Kansas City and how our culinary scene has emerged in the last 5 to 10 years, I think that the cocktail scene has kind of helped that along, because there's been so many great things happening in bars and with cocktails here. And
we should say that this is not exactly a new trend, because one of the best places to get a nice cocktail, and Chris, you could weigh in on this, but one of the best bars in Kansas City is at the Savoy Grill, which is the oldest restaurant in town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even I think the food is sometimes inconsistent there, but the martinis never are.
That is correct.
If I remember from my drinking days, that I always found the best martinis at the Savoy Grill. They were perfectly, perfectly made.
I think that's right. I think that's right.
And you were talking about going out into the garden to get your ingredients. When Justice Drugstore first opened, they had a botanist on staff as a bartender. I don't know if he's still there or not. But
Chris Canester.
Yeah.
I don't believe he is. Yeah, he would go out and forage for berries and herbs. And
just like a Boy Scout.
Yeah. And he made his own bitter. And Justice still does this, of course. And a lot of I know the Rieger does it. They make their own bitters, infuse their own alcohols. I know District Poorhouse, I don't believe that they do their own foraging, but they do a lot of infusions.
They do a lot of infusions.
They have a lot of...
What was the most interesting one you saw, Chris, while you were there?
Because
I saw all the jars, the infusion jars, when we were there. And
That's interesting, because we weren't drinking. They had a... And this was sort of... They had a ginger, I believe, a ginger and orange bourbon that I thought sounded with they said hints of honey or something like that, which sounded really good.
And I know they do a vanilla bourbon as well. It's not incredibly out there, but one of my favorite cocktails, and I kind of rank them around Kansas City. It's called the Horse Feather, and it's bourbon or rye with ginger beer and sometimes bitters, depending on the ginger beer. And they have one at District Poorhouse, which they call, I think it's called the Winter Feather or something, and it's the vanilla-infused bourbon, ginger beer, and then pecans, which is interesting.
All right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be looking for the best and most interesting cocktails around Kansas City. So call in with your favorites during the break at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. That's coming up when Central Standard returns in a moment. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Charles Ferruzza, joined by my other food critics, Emily Ferris, Mary Block, and Chris Basica. We're talking about cocktails this part of the show because, well, we've got some drinkers here. You know, in the 1980s, when I graduated from the International Bartending School, the cocktail culture of the 1950s and 60s was falling out of favor, and there was a renewed interest in wines among diners who liked to have an intoxicating beverage with their meals. This was, of course, before most Americans became more sophisticated about vintages. And at least when I was starting my career as a waiter, the best-selling wine in that era was White Zinfandel.
Ooh. Yes, my mom's favorite to this day.
Is it really? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I remember it as being very pink and very sweet.
Oh, cloyingly sweet.
Yes. And then there was also, I don't know if anyone remember Matus.
Oh, mm-hmm. I still have a bottle of that in my basement.
They used to have that on with a candle at Cork and Cleaver.
Gosh. All right.
Yes. Those bottles.
Those delicious Matus. Uh-huh. Anyway, over the last two decades, there's been a renewed interest and respect for those classic cocktails, classic and the newer innovations. And in this portion of the Essential Standard Show, we're going to go bar hopping around Kansas City saloons and restaurants to sample some of the great cocktails. And we want you to join us by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or tweet us at
KCURCST.
All right. Jay tweeted us that the smoking dun at Graham and Dunn is a thing of perfection. What has anyone had a smoking dun?
I feel like I have, only because it reminded me of the smoke and choke at Manifesto.
All right.
Which is like smoked honey and lemon and bourbon, and it is also perfection.
We are getting a lot of tweets. Keith tweeted us that his favorite right now is the King Street Punch at Julep KC. It has cognac. What does it say?
You know what? I have their menu up here, I will.
You look at the King
it
Street.
It has Maison Rouge VSOP, which is the cognac.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even pronounce. I'm a cocktail columnist, and I can't even pronounce all of these. A sherry that I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Well, let's just say it's the sherry that's in the Edgar Allan Poe short story about the man getting bricked up in the wall.
Pineapple, lemon, and Angostura bitters, which are so good.
Keith says it's boozy, spicy, sweet, tart, and awesome. We are getting phone calls at 816-235-2888. Let's go to, appropriately enough, Brandy. Brandy in Lee Summit. What do you want to tell us?
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Brandy.
I would like to say that Marina, Grog, and Galley in Lake Lotawanna, they have a great mojito. I'm a big mojito fan, and it's really hard to find a good one.
Really? They're on so many menus right now. Is it really that hard? I'm going to throw this at our panelists.
Well, it takes a while to make, for starters.
And you have to have the right ingredients.
A lot of mint.
Well, now's the time for good mint.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I like mine sweet. I don't like mine sour.
Okay.
So it's hard to find somebody to make one.
Well, they're supposed to be made with sugar cane liqueur or sugar cane.
Or you can make a simple syrup.
I think you have to have the real stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I agree.
Can I tell you that was one of my last binges? Was on mojitos. I actually may be thinking of a caparinha there with the sugar cane.
But,
I think that
was Marina Grog and Galley is wonderful food too. It's very pretty. You can sit right on the lake. It's out at Lake Lotawanna, which is out here in Lee Summit.
And we should also say, Brandy, that that's probably not a good place to have too many mojitos because
you can't drive home.
Yeah, you've got to drive home, and if you don't live in Lake Wattawana, it could be a problem.
Yes, it could be.
Yes.
And also, I would like to say that I listened to your guys' show right before Mother's Day, and my family and I went to the Majestic for the Mother's Day brunch. and I'd never been before, and it was great. It was beautiful, loved atmosphere. The food was wonderful, and we plan on going back.
That's a great place. Well, thank you, Brandy. Great call. And that was Brandy. And you know,
that's
Brandy,
appropriate today.
Brandy Alexander.
Let me tell you, I've talked about this on the show before. The very first cocktail I ever made for myself at age 12 was a Brandy Alexander because someone had told me it tasted like a milkshake, which it does and did. And of course, it started me on a life of drunkenness. But anyway.
You're classier than I was because I was putting Jolly Ranchers and hot tamales in Zima at age 14.
Oh, boy.
We're not endorsing underage drinking.
Oh, no, no.
Especially like that.
Yeah. Although, you know, there's nothing like a good Brandy Alexander when you want to tie one on. Let's see. Jay tweeted back at us that the Smoking Dunn at Graham & Dunn includes Templeton Rye, Rothman & Winter Orchard Cherry, Hickory Smoked Ice, Rosemary Simple Syrup, and lemon juice. Well, that
delightful.
Does sound, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lovely cocktail.
I have one of those.
Hickory smoked ice?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Smoked ice is a big thing right now.
I haven't had any smoked ice.
You can cold smoke. There's a...
Tell us about how you...
I've never smoked ice. I am not... I was just guessing. Someone else is going to have to tell us about smoked ice.
Because right. I'm visualizing the bottle of smoke.
I'm thinking like cold smoking somehow. I don't know.
Well, you know, a bartender who's listening and who has some knowledge of smoked ice is going to have to call us at 816-235-2888.
The bartenders are all asleep, Charles.
I would be, yes. All right. we are talking about cocktails. We've gone from mojitos to Brandy Alexanders. What are some of your favorites, Chris? Because you are a cocktail girl.
I do like cocktails, but I am not as adventuresome, perhaps, as I should be. I love old fashions, and I love a drink that we call the usual, which we make at home all the time. And
tell us where you first had a...
We had it in Chicago at the Merchandise Mart in the bar there, and it was so good that...
Tell our listeners how one would make a... It's called the usual?
Yep. And certainly it is at our house. It's with Buffalo Trace, Aperol, fresh tangerine juice, which is tricky, simple syrup, aromatic bitters, and orange bitters. And if people are – I could ask them to put it on the website. It's the best drink.
Now, do you have to have fresh tangerine juice?
Well, you can't buy tangerines much in the winter here.
Right, right. But
in
you
the
can
summer
buy,
here.
You can buy canned tangerine juice at some Oriental markets.
Yeah, and we used to be able to buy it at all places, Walmart. Can't buy it there anymore. We're buying it on 87th Street, 89th Street. The market there.
Whole Foods?
Whole Foods, yeah, thanks. At Whole Foods, and they have it. It's not, but anyway, it's hard to find. But if you do, this makes a fabulous drink.
I wonder if you could substitute blood orange juice.
It doesn't taste quite the
blood
same.
Blood orange okay. juice, blood orange is not very sweet.
No, and yeah. this would be.
And tangerine
And you know,
is.
This calls for Buffalo Trace, and we've tried it with cheaper whiskeys as well, cheaper bourbons, just trying to down the price a bit. Not as good.
Ruby red grapefruit might be a good substitute.
Oh, that's a thought.
Yeah.
That's a good thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I do have a standby drink, kind of, and I love the Stoli Doli at the Capital Grill. That is a good, potent drink.
We have received a very, very long recipe for making smoked ice, and that involves, you know, flavored wood chips and ice cube pans and things like that. We're going to, rather than, you know, recite the entire recipe here, we are going to later produce, our producer will put it on our webpage if you want to know how to make smoked ice at home.
At home.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than you might think.
Perhaps just go to a bar that has smoked ice.
You know, that would always be my number one choice, yes.
Yeah.
We are talking about cocktails. I haven't had a cocktail in I've had mocktails, but I haven't had cocktails in 20 years. But as a bartender, I loved making them. You know, it is sort of, there's, you know, a great deal of creativity, especially my first bartending job was in a Chinese restaurant. So, you know, before I was, you know, let's just say that once you master the Bulu bowl, you can make just about anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's some days I would like to have a good old Bulu bowl.
I'm afraid to ask what was in that. Do you remember?
Lots of fruit juices and lots of liquor.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things. A Bulu bowl is to be shared.
Oh, it's like a fish bowl at one of those kind of...
Like a Trader Vic's.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just say that it tasted like Hawaiian punch and you had a really nasty hangover.
Oh, gotcha.
Now, a cocktail that I never had, but I bet maybe, Chris, you had sampled. There was a restaurant here in town. I've heard about this cocktail for years and years. A restaurant in town, no longer with us, called Antoine's on the Boulevard, and where they hollowed out a watermelon, didn't
they? Yes, indeed. And that was fabulous. I think that, I don't know how often they used those watermelons because you would get a huge watermelon.
Well,
and
weren't there melon balls in
it? Yeah, there were melon balls in it, and there was vodka, and there was rum, I think, and it was just decadent. And then you watch them when you finished it off, and it took several people to finish it off. And then they'd take it back to the kitchen, and you just... I wanted to always carve a little something in the side to see if it came, the same one came back out.
I don't think the health department would allow them to reuse it.
Although,
can I say that I once worked in a restaurant, mercifully it is no longer with us, but where I was cleaning off a table and I was getting ready to throw the olives in a cocktail glass away, and the owner said, "Don't throw them away. We'll reuse them."
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are things you really don't want to know.
I know. We are talking about cocktails, and I think, and I believe this with all my heart, that if you want a really great restaurant, if you want to own a really great restaurant, in addition to having a really great chef, you really should have a really great bartender.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. I have a top five list, and I'll feel bad if we get through the show and I haven't shared my top five cocktails.
Do.
Okay, in no particular order, the Smoke and Choke at Manifesto, which I mentioned earlier. And Manifesto is downstairs from the Rieger at 19th and or 20th and Main. The next is The Beat Goes On, which is now being served at the bar at The American.
Right.
And that is a cocktail by Paige Unger, who was formerly at Extra Virgin. And then Harry's Bar and Tables, their horse feather. They use the spiciest ginger beer. And a horse feather is bourbon and ginger beer, sometimes bitters. So spicy, it kind of burns the back of your throat a little. And I like really intense flavors. So the horse feather at Harry's Bar and Tables. And the Rieger also has a very good horse feather. They make their own ginger beer, so it's a very different style, but also very good.
Now, we should say the ginger beer is not intoxicating. It's alcohol-free.
It is alcohol-free. It's only intoxicating with calories and sugar. And then the Oaxacan Sunrise at Julep. And that is like a tequila sunrise, but instead of tequila, it's made with mezcal. And mezcal is becoming very popular right now. And if you've been afraid of trying mezcal because it's a very smoky tequila-like liquor, this is a perfect segue into to mezcal because the drink is so well-balanced. It's not an overpowering mezcal flavor. And then the Elder Hombre from Sean Moriarty, which I first had at our bar, and he is now at the Majestic. And it is tequila and... ginger beer and elderflower liqueur.
I'm seeing a theme running here. A ginger beer theme.
Ginger. I love ginger. My top Smoke and Choke at Manifesto, The Beat Goes On at The American, The Horse Feather at Harry's, The Oaxacan Sunrise at Julep, and The Elder Hombre at The Majestic.
Now, have you noticed, as I have, that there seems to have been, on the ginger beer theme here, a renewed interest in the cocktail called a Moscow Mule.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's traditionally served in a copper cup.
Right.
And I have been at two or three restaurants lately where I look around and there's some copper cups on the table.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of places now are doing their horse feather and their Moscow Mule in the copper mug. I know Remedy is doing that and a few other bars are doing it as well.
And it's on a lot of wedding registries right now.
Oh,
are it is a hot cocktail.
There are some bars and restaurants that require a deposit before you even get a drink that
because
comes in a copper mug because people want to steal them. And they're very expensive. They're about $20 a piece. People are stealing copper everywhere.
Yeah.
Bars are they are not immune to it.
Well, let's go to Gary. Gary, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Charles, I've actually recreated that drink from the Graham and Dunn down there, and I had a girlfriend that wanted to do that for a wedding, and so all I did, it's very simple, really. You take a Weber, style of grill.
Oh, we should say that when you
cover.
We should say, Gary, that when you're talking about recreating a drink, you're talking about making the smoked ice, right?
Smoking done is the one that I was trying to do.
Oh, okay.
Right, with the smoked ice.
Same drink that you guys were talking about.
Okay.
But you can do this for, you know, it's smoked ice regardless. So what you do is you just take a Weber-style grill and you put water in a aluminum pan. You get the hickory chips smoking. You close the whole thing up. You let it sit for a couple hours. When you get done, you take this aluminum pan, set it off to the side, let it cool. And then you take the sprigs and put them in the ice tray molds and pour the water in there, and you put it in the freezer. It's very simple.
So you smoke ice, then you freeze it, and then you have smoke. You smoke water, then you freeze it, and you have smoked ice.
That's exactly it.
All right.
It's easy enough.
Now, Gary, do you have a favorite cocktail?
Actually, that one is probably right up there. I've really grown to like bourbons and bourbon and that particular one with, I think, the Orchard's Cherry Red or something like that, together is an awesome drink. That and a little bit of smoke, that's a really incredible drink.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. And that was Gary giving us the smoked ice recipe. Let's go to Katie in Midtown Kansas City. Katie.
Hello.
Hello, Katie.
I'm calling in to mention Thomas Restaurant.
All right.
And they're located there on State Line and 39th. They use a seasonal shrub in their drinks. And right now their shrub is in a drink called the Zinger. It's got lime and honey shrub, gin, and ginger ale. And it's really light and sweet.
We should have Emily, can you elaborate what a shrub is? I know it dates back to, colonial Williamsburg.
Yes, I love shrubs, and if they're on a menu, I almost always order them, and I make them at home a lot in the summer. So you cook down basically a simple syrup with some sort of fruit on the stove. So you do boil water and do blueberries or strawberries or blackberries or whatever.
I suppose you could throw a little lavender and rosemary.
Yeah, anything. And then there's vinegar mixed in with it as well. And so it has the sweetness and the tartness, and it's so good. But I like tart cocktails, and they're becoming very popular. Pock Pock, which is a place in a Thai restaurant in Portland, and now they're in New York. They do a line of drinking vinegars. And you sell them by the bottle. You can order them online, and they're very hip. And you mix them with club soda or ginger beer.
Like one would do with bitters, I suppose.
Yeah, though you would do definitely far more of an aperitif, like more like you would use Aperol. So you would use more of it. So I like to mix a shrub. I like to drink bourbon or rye. So I often in the summer will make a blackberry shrub. So I do blackberry and sugar, and then I mix in some vinegar. Sometimes I do a little balsamic vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and then club soda and bourbon or rye. And a lot of restaurants do shrubs in the spring and summer when they're seasonal.
All right. There's nothing like a good shrub. Katie, where else do you like to have a cocktail?
I had a drink at Julep last night, and I enjoyed that.
What was that?
It was a julep, a traditional julep.
Oh, mint julep with bourbon and...
No, they do three juleps.
Oh, they do?
Yep. They do. They have a traditional julep, they have a modern julep, and then they have a vintage julep. So the vintage julep has cognac in it. The traditional is Buffalo Trace. Chris, you would like that. Mm-hmm. And the modern is rum. And the modern is a bit too sweet for my taste, but still tasty.
All right. Jennifer emailed us the Kona Kai... used to have a drink called Dragon's Blood. It was wonderful. There was a limit of two, and I'd like to make it as a surprise for my husband. Can you or any of your listeners help? Jennifer, I think there's a comparable drink to the Dragon's Blood, which, believe it or not, I did have once upon a time when I moved to Kansas City. I think there's a comparable drink to that at Prince's Garden, which has one of the most elaborate cocktail, one of the biggest cocktail menus I've seen in Kansas City, and some of the descriptions, by the way, are absolutely hilarious.
That's at 89th and Warner,
right? And why don't you go there and see if they have something comparable to a Dragon's Blood? I bet they do. Let's go to Kenneth in Raytown.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kenneth.
First of all, I love your show every week. My question was, my son took my wife out in Dallas about 2 weeks ago, and she had a Moscow Mule, and she has been just raving about it. You guys mentioned it a minute ago, but I didn't hear any locations where you can go and find one at. Could you elaborate on that for me?
Yeah, lots of places will do it for you. Any place that has ginger beer will make one for you, whether it's in a copper mug or not. I know Remedy does one. I know
Remedy is at the corner of
75th and Warren. 71st, I think it's.
No,
75th. It's 75th. Kennedy Space. That's right. Yeah. The Rieger, I know they have copper mugs and will do it. I know Charlie Dunn. Hooper's has copper mugs in Brookside. And you know, that's something you can also make at home because it's vodka and ginger beer.
Yes. Okay. And you don't necessarily have to have the copper mug, although it makes it
a more special drinking experience.
And for those of us who have bought their copper mugs on eBay, which is a real possibility, especially if you don't care if they match.
Yeah. And you can get them at Pride's Kitchen. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Sur La Table and Williams-Sonoma have them.
They all have them.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Jacobson serves them, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure they do. Anyway, Kenneth, good luck finding that Moscow Mule.
Thank you very much, you guys. Have a great day.
Kelly wrote in an email about a cocktail she can't remember the name of. But it tastes like an orange sherbet shake. This sounds vaguely familiar to me. That involves ice, amaretto, whipping cream, and orange juice.
Does not sound like something I would drink, but
it sounds like a dreamsicle.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
I bet you like should look it up under that name.
Go to Princess Garden; they'd probably have it.
Yeah.
Trust me, they've got everything.
Liked sweet cocktails, didn't you, Charles?
I didn't actually. No, I mean, I would have one every once in a while, but believe me, I was strictly, you know, bourbon with ice cubes. That was it.
That sounds like it.
Yes. Let's go to Junior in Midtown.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Junior.
With Father's Day coming up, I got to think about my dad who passed, and his favorite drink was a sweet Manhattan. I wanted to find out a place for him and where to go get one.
Well,
you know, well,
go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say the Drum Room at the President does a good one.
I bet the Savoy does too.
I bet it does too. And you know, I don't know if y'all have been back to the Marriott recently, but their redone bar. It's been a couple years.
You mean the Marriott downtown?
Yeah, the Marriott downtown. Their bar is really, really nice, and they serve pretty good drinks.
Yeah.
You know, their prices aren't higher than anybody else's.
My husband and two of his coworkers, he's a high school teacher, and once a week they carpool, and they have we call it the Manhattan Project, and every week they go to a different place to try their Manhattan. So he has been sampling Manhattans all over the city and said the one at the Majestic has been his favorite so far. And also, tying with the American's Lounge. And the American at Crown Center can be pricey, but their happy hour is fantastic.
Yes.
Listen, I bet there is not a cocktail that the Majestic's bartender, Sean Moriarty, cannot make.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And especially with classic cocktails like a sweet Manhattan.
Yeah.
So try that. Let's go.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you. And let's go to, we're still getting calls here. But Michael writes in an email, the Dirty Bourbon Sidecar was a huge hit at my birthday party last week. The drink is Maker's Mark, simple syrup made with brown sugar, and lemon San Pellegrino.
That actually sounds really good.
Yeah, that sounds like a good summer drink.
Yeah, because it's harder to drink bourbon in the summer, really.
No,
it wasn't for me.
No, it's not.
I think it's
hard for me to drink bourbon anytime.
We've got Stephanie in Leawood. Stephanie, you have an answer for one of our questions?
Yeah, Charles, this is Stephanie, and I just wanted to tell you guys that Bed Bath & Beyond, I just had the cocktail at our dinner party was the Moscow Mule that Bed Bath & Beyond carries the copper mugs, and they also have diet ginger beer. So it's a great summer cocktail for all of us that want something fast and easy.
All right. And do you refrigerate your copper cups before you make the Moscow Mule?
I put them in the freezer, especially when it gets hot.
Oh,
all
right.
Sitting outside, so it keeps it really slushy and delicious. And the diet ginger beer is really, you can't tell the difference. So for those of us that are trying to watch our weight, it's just a really great, refreshing, easy drink. And we make them in great big oh, pharmacy, science, you know, bleakers, and it just, with fresh mint, and it's just an easy done deal with lime wedges or slices.
That's great. Hey, Stephanie, you know, I don't drink anymore, but you've practically ruined my sobriety. I'm ready to have one. And thank you so much. And let's go to Thomas. But before we go to Thomas, Nancy writes in an email, McCoy's has copper mugs, but you have to turn over your driver's license mm-hmm. to use one. Mm-hmm. How interesting. Thomas in Lee's Summit, what do you want to tell us?
Hi, everybody. I was calling about the Moscow Mule. I buddied up with the bartender when Reverse was open on the plaza, and they told me the best kind of ginger beer, which is Gosling's. And they actually have a diet now. And it has just made the best Moscow Mule experience for me and my family. We love that drink. And we have them all the time. It's the perfect summer drink. And we got copper mugs for my dad for Father's Day. And it actually, you can get the diet so you don't have to worry about all the calories. And it's just as tasty. But love the show and love all your comments. And keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. You know, it's funny because I was a bartender for many, many, many years. And even after I stopped drinking, I was still a bartender. I never made a Moscow Mule. That's, you know, it's an old-fashioned drink that has recently come back into favor and in a very big way. Anyway, as always, I'd like to thank my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris, Mary Block, and Chris Moscow Mule Basica.
Thank you.
Of course, you can always find a list of all the restaurants we mentioned today at kcor.org/Central Standard in just a few hours. You can subscribe to our podcast through that page or on iTunes. Central Standard returns on Monday with Gina Kaufman and a look at how to decide if renting or buying makes more sense for you. Our show is produced today by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our announcer is Linda Scher. Up to date, just 1 minute away, I'm Charles Ferruzza. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your food and your Moscow Mules, Kansas City.